Amen. Here in James chapter 1, we get the idea of being a doer of the word and being just a hearer of the word. Now, being a hearer of the word, that's the easy part. All right, as my mother used to say, things can sometimes go in this ear and right out the other. Nothing in between to stop it. You know, it just can come in and out. We can be hearers of the word, and to be a hearer of the word is easy. It takes very little effort at all. Maybe this morning some of you will struggle with the effort of paying attention, but you can still be a hearer of the word. It is being the doer of the word that can get us. That can be the difficult part of the word of God and of hearing what God has for us and listening to the Holy Spirit of God. And we can be a hearer in these things. But the Bible says if we're just a hearer and not a doer, we're like someone that looks in the mirror and says, man, I should comb my hair. But we get away from the mirror and we just forget what it was all about and we go about the whole day looking like a wreck. Right? I mean, it can be easy to do that. We use the mirror to double check and look and say, okay, well, it's the best I can do. Off we go. And so we can behold ourselves in the glass. We can behold ourselves and say, all right, this should be tweaked. I need to do that. I need to comb this so I can look presentable, do some of these things, and then out the door we go. But someone that's just a hearer of the word doesn't do anything about what's being represented to them. You know what the word of God does? The word of God represents our true selves to us and represents all the parts and pieces of us, all the things that we like to run away and not look in the mirror. At least I do sometimes. I'm like, wow, that's okay. We got to go. How much time do I have? You know, we gotta go, and we don't like being honest with ourselves sometimes. And spiritually speaking, we come to church and we have the Word of God be presented to us, and it's a mirror of often who we really are. And we need to say, I heard it again, but I need to be a doer of the Word. I want to preach on being an active witness. Being an active witness. We had the fair this week and opportunities to sign up and to be able to pass out gospel tracts and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be a doer of the word, a doer of the word in this part of being an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to be active means there's activity. To be active means there's action, there is doing something, there's a pursuit after something. That's activity, that's being active. And we need to be an active witness. Most Christians are passive in their Christianity. That means they don't do much about it. They claim it. We claim a Christianity. We claim to be a follower of Christ. We claim to believe the Bible. We claim many things, but are very passive about that claim. We come to church on Sunday morning, and then we're done for the week. We've done our part in Christianity. This is not biblical Christianity. This is not being an obedient follower of Christ, because an obedient follower of Christ is an active Christian. It is someone that is a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You can't get away from it. The only thing you can do, be continuing to be a very passive, do-nothing Christian, is to hear the word, is to see yourself in the reflection of the scriptures, and then run away and be a hearer only. That's the only way to do it, is to be a hearer only. And eventually, you have to go like this. Because the Holy Spirit of God has this way of just not leaving us alone about stuff. It's not me. What you do is you give my voice to the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. And all week long, you're thinking, that guy, I wish he would stop talking about it. That's not my voice. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you about your growth and your walk with the Lord, to be an active Christian and not a passive Christian. It's very clear in the scriptures. Jesus says in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's very plain. Acts chapter number 1, Jesus Christ says, "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Amen. That's what he says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. And that it has been committed unto us, Christians, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, as that Jesus Christ is the one that saves. You understand that. Jesus Christ is the only one that someone can put their faith in, and he can forgive sins. Jesus Christ can reconcile us back to God. But we have the ministry of reconciliation. You know what we do? We go and tell people, listen, Jesus Christ can save your soul. Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive sins. And we go and we tell people about the Savior so they can call upon the Lord and be saved. But that ministry is given to you and I as Christians. It's not just given to the preacher. It's not just given to the associate. It's not just given to Sunday school teachers. The ministry of reconciliation is given to Christians to bear the name of Christ and lift up the name of Christ and be active in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says in 2 Peter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those are those that are trusting in Christ. That's the special people are those that are saved and born again. And he has said, I want you to go and bear witness that you went from darkness to light. And who was that through? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. It's being an active witness. John says in 1 John 4, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John says, we're to testify. We're to let somebody know that Jesus Christ is the answer, because he is the answer. If you've been saved and born again, you know what that means in your life. You know what that's meant in your life to understand heaven is your home with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And we should tell others. We should tell others. We should be an active witness. You and I were to be active in getting the gospel to those that are around us. Not pass. It doesn't happen on accident. Boy, I'm just waiting for someone to come ask me about Jesus. First of all, what would you say if they did ask you about Jesus? It's good to have a thought in our minds. Secondly, when's the last time you had somebody just come up to you randomly and say, could you tell me about Jesus? You know, we're just waiting someone to come to us, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It barely happens at the fair when we have a booth and it says our church name and we're trying to pass out gospel tracts. It rarely happens then. We're usually like, excuse me, did you get one of these? You know, as they're really interested in something directly opposite of the booth. Let's see, okay, that's that. A Faith Baptist Church over here. As I walk by, not interested, can't hear, I'm deaf all of a sudden, and off we go. We're to be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we're talking about the gospel. Amen. We're talking about representing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that as a representative, if you go here, you're a representative of Faith Baptist Church. I understand that. You're a representative of yourself, how you carry yourself. But when you give the gospel, you're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, wanting to lead and guide and give you boldness to be able to do it. And when you start to give someone, be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God does give you boldness. Amen. I don't want to do it. I'm too scared. I'm just going to take a step of faith and try to be faithful and be an active witness for the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord gives you this boldness you didn't know you have. Right. And you say, oh, I didn't die. But we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. We're talking about sinners. And Jesus Christ is the Savior by his death, burial, and resurrection. And there is salvation. There is salvation in none other name than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about being a Baptist. We're not talking about whatever. We're talking about Jesus Christ being the answer. Amen. People, well, I'm this religion. I go to this place. I do this thing. What about Jesus Christ? Amen. What have you done with Christ? And we're talking about being an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many different ways you can do it. You can simply use your mouth and witness to those that are around you. You understand that some of the people that you talk to and deal with, none of the rest of us in here have an opportunity to talk to them. We're not around them. We might never meet them. We might never see them at the gas station. But at the workplace or at the school or the place that you go or the hobbies that you have and the people that you're around, you might be the only one saved that's able to give them a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can witness to those around us by using our mouths. We can put out door hangers and knock on somebody's door. Least favorite. This is the least favorite of people's to ever do in the world. Is to knock on someone's door and tell them, even if it's just in your own neighborhood, to say, "Hi, I live over here. And I just want to let you know, here's a gospel tract. I'm a Christian. And I'd love to invite you to church sometime or tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ." It's an opportunity to do that. There's street ministry where you can go out and hold a sign and cars drive by and they see a sign of Scripture to get their minds thinking about Christ and to get their minds thinking about eternity. There's opportunities to do that. And yes, you can hold a sign in front of your face. It's okay. You don't have to worry about it. But there's opportunities to do that. And then there's the simplest opportunity to be a witness, and that's to pass out gospel tracts. That's to pass out. Say, why is that the simplest? Because there's all different kinds and there's all different ways to do it. All right, now I grabbed some of these just to show you. These are all right back there, all right, in the back. We have ones with pictures on them. These are new ones. Pictures here. Where will you spend eternity, with God or Satan? Say, wow, that's really blunt. It is. Sometimes it's good to shake somebody up and get them to think about eternity. What's it have on the back? The gospel. Here's one for football. It's coming up. As soon as football starts, we'll all forget all the other sports. All right. Here's football. Right. And look what colors it is. Anybody recognize these colors? Seattle Seahawks. Yes. Very good. What is that? That's local. That's like that guy. I like that kid back there. Thank you. All right. It says, whose side are you on? Right. What's on the back? The gospel. The gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one about creation. Here's one with the American flag. That's a pretty easy one to pass out. About the American flag. What does it have? The gospel. Here's our church track, taking stock in your life, as the cowboy on the front. Has some information about our church, but what's it have on the inside? It has the gospel. It has the gospel to be able to give it. Here's one with a smiley face. Now, if you pass out a smiley face, you have to smile. You can't frown and pass out a smiley face track. That doesn't work. All right. This is an easy one. Like, hey, how you doing today? Boy, it's a great day out, right? It's sunny sometimes. It's sunny out. Here, have this. Here's a Spanish track. All right. We have Hispanic population. There's a Spanish. How to get to heaven from Washington. There's one how to get to heaven from Oregon. There's one how to get to heaven from anywhere. What are these? It's just a conversation start. We live in Washington, right? Yeah. There's a thank you track. If you go out to eat somewhere, or you have to go talk to somebody because you're returning something and you have to deal with the people at the customer service, you can get one of these. Thank you. Thank you for being nice. Thank you for eventually figuring out what you're supposed to do. Don't say that. Don't do that. You smile and you say, thank you. Let me give you one of these. Here's a chick track. We have these. There's one back in the track rack, but we have a bunch of these in the bookstore as well. What are these? These are comic books. That's what these are. These are comic books. People like to read them. Why? They're easy to read. They have pictures. People love pictures, right? You can get to some, in some countries, educated countries in Europe, they don't like these. They say these are for kids. We want something that we can actually read, We're not there. We're in America. America is like less reading, more pictures. All right. So there's Chick Tracks to be able to do that. God Bless America tracks. All different shapes, sizes. What are you afraid of? A lot of different phobias and different things, whether they're real or not. You can give these out to people. And what is it? It directs them towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that important? Because we're supposed to be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. An active witness. Passing out tracts to places you go. You pick one that you like, one that you like handing out, one that you think gets good responses. If you try some, sometimes people are like, what is that thing? But you can leave them places. You can put them in people's hands. You can give them to the person at the register and run away. If you get out of your car, you can leave it on the car beside you, wherever you are. These are an easy way to get the gospel into somebody's hand. They're an easy way. And what is it being? It's being an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's doing. It's being active. It's doing something for the Lord. I was talking before service about taking a shift at the fair, and someone had taken their first time working at the fair, and I said, man, how was it? You know, yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking at first if you're not used to doing it. But you know what we're doing? We're giving the gospel, something that can change a person's eternity. I'm not selling ties. You know, we're not, you know, you do something for work, you have something set up, and you go out and you have an opportunity to, volunteer some time for something, and all that's fine. But man, this is giving the gospel of the Lord. You wonder why you're so fearful to give the gospel and not fearful to talk about the Seahawks? Right. It's spiritual. Amen. You have an unnatural fear of doing the best thing that we could do in giving out the gospel. And doesn't come from the Holy Spirit of God. And you're not that scared. Amen. You're not that much of a wimp. I don't believe it. It comes from the fact that, oh no, well, what if? Well, don't come talk to me about the Seahawks. I like the Steelers. All right? I just let it, let's let it fester for a little bit in there. What happens? We have this unnatural fear of what the response is going to be when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't know what's going to happen. And we need to be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you some things that happens when you're an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's say this first. It creates the right atmosphere. It creates the right atmosphere for ourselves and for those that are around us. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. Taking an opportunity to talk about the Lord, you know what it does? It sets the tone and it allows things to be less worldly. No one's going to talk to me if I talk about the Lord. That's not all that bad. Because often the conversation can be turned into a worldly, kind of carnal, things can get sideways, you don't have to be mean about it, you be nice about it. It doesn't have to be the only thing you talk about, but it gives an open opportunity for someone to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. It keeps your mind on doing things for Christ. When you're thinking about being a witness for Christ, it keeps your mind on things for Christ. It keeps your mind in the right place. It sets the right atmosphere when you're attempting to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to do. It creates the right atmosphere. I like to say this secondly. It brings the right attitude. It creates the right atmosphere. It brings the right attitude in our own hearts. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. It brings a right attitude to be able to present the gospel, to be able to be an open witness for somebody. It allows us to be thankful. It allows us to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you that I have the truth of God's word. It sets an attitude where we're trying to serve God instead of ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, for ye are bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's an attitude of Christ first. It's an attitude as we go through our day and we go through our lives. It's an attitude of being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking by faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us and say, how can I be an active witness for the Lord? How can I speak up about the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you ever notice all the crazy things people are very willing to talk to you about? And often Christians, what the thing that should be the most important thing to us, and certainly the most important thing to the Lord, are the souls that He died for, and we just don't want to do it. We're afraid to do it. We're afraid. We're not thinking. Our heart's not in it. We're not in the right attitude. We're not. I need work on this stuff too. And when we understand the importance of it, and we have the right things in our hearts and in our minds, then it's much easier to be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much easier to do that. It brings a right attitude for us to have. Being an active witness, let me say this as well, being an active witness has no age limit. It doesn't have an age limit. There's no ready by or expiration date. Little kids can pass out gospel tracts. And they're cuter. Right? So people are more apt to take tracts from little kids maybe than you or me. Little kids can pass out gospel tracts. There's no age limit. Wherever you go, however you get there, you can pass out a gospel tract. It's easy to do it. You smile. You be kind. You hand out a gospel tract. I know a lot of people say, well, I can't do much. Well, I don't know a lot. Well, I don't. Perfect. Hand out a gospel tract. Why? Because it says all the stuff you're supposed to say right in it. What's this? It's a gospel tract. Well, what does it talk about? Jesus? Let's go over it. Well, what church do you go to? Sometimes people ask you questions. I don't mean to frighten you here by telling you what might happen if you pass out a gospel tract. But they might ask you questions about it. You know what that gives you an opportunity to do? Talk about the Savior. Amen. Talk about the Lord. Say, listen, that gospel tract has a whole bunch of Bible verses in here. I don't know if you have a Bible or not, but there's a whole bunch of Bible verses in here. The Lord talks about how He died for our sins. I'm thankful that one day I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can know for sure where I'm going to go when I die. Say, oh, that's a lot of words. I know. It is a lot of words, but you'd be surprised how when you just start, all of a sudden, your mind comes up with the words. And you're thinking, oh, that was it? Yeah, that's what happened. And then they might walk away and say, yeah, thanks. And they might walk away, and that's it. But you know what? You're able to explain what's going on. The verses are right in here. And the witness for Christ is right inside. That's why giving out a gospel tract is one of the easiest ways to start to get out there and be active for the Lord. And there's no age limit. I can't do it anymore. It doesn't mean you have to be know a certain amount of Bible verses. You don't. All you have to do is say, Lord, please help me to pass out these gospel tracts, and get them out different places. There's no age limit. I like to say this about being an active witness for the Lord. It'll take you places. It'll take you places. Say, what do you mean? I only go to the places I go to. I know, but those places will be different if you're going to be an active witness. Yeah. If you have a mind to witness, it'll take you places. It might take you to some new places. You might say, I've never been there, but it's a bunch of cars in the parking lot. I'm going to go pass out some gospel tracts. I can carve out 3 minutes of my time right here. I'm going to stop at this place and pass out a couple gospel tracts. You stop and pass. It might take you to the next town over. So I live here, but I'm going to go to the next town and just pass out a few gospel tracts where I don't live. It'll take you to some new places. It'll take you to old places. Say what, Pat? Being an active witness? Yeah. The regular places that you go to. You'll go there, but with an attitude of being an active witness and some gospel tracts in your pocket, and you'll be able to say, hey, I'm going to give some of these out. I'm going to give these out for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His honor and glory. It might take you to some strange places. you end up in some places where you never thought you'd be sometimes, passing out a gospel tract or going out with somebody else to give out some gospel tracts or be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it'll take you places. Man, if you go out with somebody, and I recommend going two by two at least, you go out and knock on someone's door to be a representative of the Christ or to put a door hanger on the doorknob of around the places where you live. You go knock on doors and you make that something that you do, you'll go to all kinds of different places. You'll knock on doors of big houses. Whoa. There's a lot of money here. You'll go to some places where they don't have much at all. Why? Because the gospel doesn't care. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to see people get saved. You might end up in some towns and some neighborhoods and some places, and you say, all right, well, here I am. And you got to do some door hangers, and we've done that as a church, and putting door hangers out on doors and going to reach people around here, around the church. And it's a good time. I had a chance to go out with Brother Jason Roberts. He happens to be here this morning. So went out with Brother Roberts, and Brother Roberts was saying, wow, this is different. I'm not in uniform when we were going out and giving the gospel. And I was like, well, I'm kind of glad I have you with me, just in case anything goes down, you know. And but what is it? It takes you some places, trying to be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember back in New York, and my wife and I had moved to New York to start working in the church in 2002. And we started there, and there had been some younger individuals and some couples that had just recently got saved, and they were, man, they were all excited about the Lord. They were excited about learning about the Lord, and they were excited about the Bible, and they had come from some rough backgrounds and some worldly things, and they were trying to get their lives straightened out, and man, they were excited to do something positive, something for the Lord, instead of a bunch of stuff that they were doing. And so at the time, our church was renting. We didn't have our own church building. We were renting from another church to use their building. So we had an afternoon service. All right. So they had their morning service like we do. And then we would come in after that around 3 o'clock. We'd have our service, one kind of long service to about 5:30. We'd have this service and then we'd be done so that they could come back in and have their evening service. So that's what we had to do. We didn't have a building, so we were renting theirs and using what we had. We had a midweek service. It was on a Thursday because they had a Wednesday. And so that's how that worked out for us. So we would have these mornings where we weren't in church. And so I don't remember who had the idea. I think it might have been me, but I can't take all the credit for it if we did. But the idea was Easter is one of the biggest Sundays where people go to church, right? And where we lived in Rochester, New York, like most of the Northeast, Catholicism is the king religion. And so Christmas and Easter is when all of the Catholics feel it's very necessary to go to church. So what we decided to do is we're going to get a bunch of church tracts, and we were going to Easter Sunday morning, since we didn't have church, we were going to carpool, and I was going to pick the 5 biggest Catholic churches in the area. And while they were in church, we were going to track every single one of their cars with the gospel. While they were in Mass, we were going to give them the gospel. And it was really fun. It was really fun. Not everything was super positive as far as the so we knew we had to time it while they were in Mass, right? So the last one was always the diciest, because depending on what time they got out, we might still be there, right? So we only have a certain window to be able to do this. So I remember we were there, we had one car. I mean, it was like we had a driver in there, he's like the getaway car, you know. And we're all out there putting tracks on cars and going around. And one guy was all the way at the front, like all the way up by the church where the doors were. And the rest of us are like, it's time to go, you know. And he's doing his car right by the back doors, main doors of the church. And the doors open. You can hear the big organ playing. And People, I mean, are ready to go, right? And so out they come, and he's just like. So he goes to the bottom of the stairs like this. He goes to the bottom of the stairs and goes, "Happy Easter, happy Easter, happy Easter." And he just acts like he was supposed to be there. And he just starts giving tracts out to everybody. Like, oh. You know, they come out, and then finally he's like, okay. And he goes, and we leave. Yeah, we got phone calls. Yes, of course we did. But what was it? It was exciting. It was interesting. I remember being with the teenagers one time. We went to a youth meeting, and they had services at night, but not during the day. So we took all of our teenagers. We were staying. This is in Delaware. We were going to Alan Ryman's church, if you remember Alan Ryman. And we were there. What are we going to do? Like, let's go pass out some tracts. So they had this big, huge casino at Dover Downs, right? It's the racehorse place and casino. So we just went and tracked all the cars in the parking lot. All the cars. Say, what was it? I got to say that I took all the teens to a casino. The parents are like, excuse me? I'm like, no, let me explain. Man, we went, they're like, this is awesome. So what did we do from there? We went to Lowe's. And I said, okay, any handle of any box in Lowe's, just put a track in the handle. And they were like, challenge accepted, you know? So off the kids go. Man, I don't know how many people buy microwaves and refrigerators and cabinets and all toilets and all kinds of stuff. If they have a handle to pop in, you just pop it in and put a gospel track in it. And what happens? Why? Someone's going to buy it. At some point, someone's getting you put a gospel tract right into their house when they get it. In the Lowe's and the Home Depot, we went around there doing all that. Those of you that went to Mexico with us, you remember passing out gospel tracts, being a witness. I couldn't even speak the language, but I could say a couple words. Regalo. What's that? A gift. Here's a gift for you. Don't talk to me. I can't understand you. But... yes, right here. See ya. Or find, okay, where's someone that knows Spanish, right? Where are the Russells? Get them. Get one of them. And what was it? We went out on a street. We went house to house. We were in the marketplace. What were we doing? Being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Being an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We first bought our house in Napa Vine a few years ago, and my kids went around the neighborhood and gave out gospel tracts to the neighbors. Why? Being an active witness. They later wanted to shovel snow and mow their lawns and everything else for money. But they went around to be what? To be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll take you places. It'll take you. You'll see places differently than you ever did before when you're an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what else. Being an active witness is not boring. It's not boring. Now, you might not like all the excitement that you get, but it's not boring. That's a lot of people say, oh, being a Christian's boring. Nah, come hang out with me. We'll go do some fun stuff. To do what? Be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not boring. It's not boring. You knock on doors. Man, I've knocked on doors, and this was in the South in Pensacola, Florida. And sometimes you get invited in for sweet tea and cornbread. That's a win, by the way. If you didn't know, that's a win. If you've never had sweet tea and cornbread, you're missing out. It is one of life's very fine pleasures, all right? But sometimes you get invited in. We were in New York one time with a group, and we were kind of canvassing this place where there's some apartments and stuff, and these kids were playing basketball. I went to talk to them, and they're like, we'll play you in Pig basketball, you know, the game Pig. So, okay, but I'll play Pig if I get to give you the gospel. And so what we do, we played Pig, and then they stood there for a few minutes while we gave them the gospel. What is it? It's being an active witness. You find, if you go door to door, you find pets like dogs. That's not boring. That's not boring. I was at a door one time with a young boy. He's not young anymore. He's like this tall. And anyway, he was young when I was there. And we went knocking on doors, and we were talking to people about... give them the gospel, but also letting them know that we ran a van to pick up kids to bring them to church. And so his name's Ben. And so I was with Ben, and we go up, and it was one of the storm doors The inside door is open and the storm door was there. So I knock on the storm door and I didn't barely get the second knockout and there was a dog. And he must have been sitting right at the door. Because when I gave a knock and I went to do the second knock, this dog jumps up and I can now see his head through the glass on the storm door. And I'm like, wow, it's, you know, startling. And this dog just, brruh, brruh, this big bark. And I turn and Ben's like three houses down on the sidewalk. I mean, it was like knock, dog bark. I'm in my routine to knock again. He's over there. Like, that's how fast it happened. But it was interesting. It was interesting. I was knocking on doors one time in New York, and it was in the wintertime. There was about 6 inches of snow on the ground. And knock on the door, and this guy comes to the door, and he opens the door, and I'm talking to him a little bit, and his cat runs out. And I'm like, oh, and the cat kind of comes out and runs right by the guy that was here. Now, if you ever try to knock on doors or do something, you usually go two by two, like I said. And the one person usually does most of the talking, and you kind of rotate, and the other person does the prayer, but the other person is also responsible for everything else. All right, that's just how it works. All right, so I was doing the talking. I was with a guy named Alex, and so I, all right, now my kids are going to laugh, but so I knock on the door. I'm talking to the guy. The cat runs out, and Alex is standing there, and the cat runs right by Alex. And the homeowner's like, oh, my cat got out. And I'm like, Alex, you're supposed to be the goalie. I mean, I was talking. Alex is supposed to take care of everything else. What does that mean? Catch cats when they come out of the door? You know, fight off the dogs? Anything that happens, they're supposed to do the other part. And so the guy then is like, oh, okay. So he comes out, and he's in his socks, and he's standing on the front porch thing, and he shuts the door. So nothing else happened. No other animals come out or whatever. And he's standing there, and he finds out what we're doing, and he's like, yeah, get out of here. Right? Well, I'm not interested. We're like, okay, well, have a great evening. Then the guy turns, and he's like, the door's locked. So now the guy has to, we're like, do you want us to help you find your cat? You know, we at least have shoes on. You know, you're in your socks. He's like, no, thanks. I know where it went. He's in the bushes here somewhere. And I'm like, okay. So we get out and go get in our warm car, and we're backing out of his driveway as this guy's in socks, tramping through 6 inches of snow to try to find his cat. Say, what is that? Not boring. It's not boring. It's not boring. My pastor was out knocking on doors one time to give the gospel, and his lights are on, and the blinds are kind of half open, and he's knocking on the door, and he hears the TV on, and nobody answers the door, and nobody answers the door. That's fine. Some people don't like to answer the door. I get it. But my pastor, he's like he kind of goes like this, and he looks in the window, and he sees a lady sitting in her chair, and he's like, you know, nothing. He's looking. And he's like, he ends up calling 911. The lady was dead. What's that? Not boring. It's not boring. They waited there till the cops came in. She was not alive. That's why she wasn't answering the door. And I mean, all kinds of crazy things. And you know what else happens? People get saved. That's what happens. Yeah, sometimes you can have some crazy, people get saved. They hear the gospel for the first time. Maybe they understand the gospel for the first time. They accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, that's pretty cool. Amen. That's not boring. When the Lord uses you to know that someone makes a decision for eternity, to get saved and accept Christ, man, what a blessing. Amen. Passing out tracts, man, you do that, you can leave tracts anywhere. You can leave tracks anywhere. You can go into Walmart, and you can be like God's secret agent in Walmart. And you can take, guys, I'll tell you this, I don't know what girls have in their section, but I know what guys have in their section. You know what you can do? You can take a bunch of tracks, and you can go, and you can go to the shirts, right? And a lot of shirts will have a chest pocket. You know what you can do? You can just look through the shirts. You can put one in every pocket. You can go to the jeans section. Jeans have pockets. You know what you can do? You can put gospel tracts in the back pockets. say, really? Oh, yeah, you can do that. We had somebody call our church in New York one time. They lived in Georgia. And they called and they said, hey, I just wanted you to know that when I was in New York, I bought a pair of jeans at Walmart. And when I got home and was checking the pockets before I washed them, I found one of your gospel tracts. I'm saved and born again, but what a blessing it is that you are giving out gospel tracts. Someone from Georgia. Why? Putting gospel tracts out. Just putting them out. You can leave them places you go. You can leave them on countertops. You can go into the bathroom and leave them on the countertops. You can be in a place where everybody leaves their business cards. You can leave a little stack of gospel tracts like they're supposed to be there and just put them right there. There's a lot of different ways to do it. There's a lot. You can go around in there and just wave at the people that work there. Hi, how's it going? And you're just putting gospel tracts and stuff as you're going around the store. Now, one thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't put them in greeting cards, all right? Because we had some girls one time, they said, we're going to go to Walmart while mom's shopping. We're going to put gospel tracts in all the greeting cards. Well, you know what happens with a greeting card, right? You look at it, because there's never any good ones. It takes you 8 days to find a good card to give out. So what do? You take it and you open the card and all the tracts fall out. So eventually there's like 40 tracts on the ground at Walmart because they put them in all the... Don't do that. Because then people get mad when they have to clean them up. All right? But there's so many ways to be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ by giving out gospel tracts. Let me tell you this as well. Being an active witness lets you meet new people. It lets you meet new people. You talk about the Lord, you give out a tract, you knock on a door. You know what you find? You find hurting people. That's what you find. You find people that are going through things in life. And they have struggles and they have doubts and they're hurting. And you know what you're able to do? You're able to be a kind word to somebody. You're able to tell them the Lord Jesus Christ loves them. You're able to talk to them. And you find people that are sad. You find people that are empty. People that are searching for something. Because they've gone through all the stuff that the world's told them to look at and chase after and dream about, and they found that it's all empty. Without Christ, there's no fulfillment, there's no purpose in life. And you can talk to somebody, you go to be a witness to them, you smile to them, you say hi to them, you go to give them a gospel tract. You know what you find out? You find out people are searching for something. And you're able to say, hey, let me tell you, man, I found happiness and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're able to be a witness to them. You find needy people. You find saved people. You're able to encourage them. I still don't take the tracts back, though. I don't do that. Because most people don't pass out tracts. So if you give a tract to somebody and they're like, what's this? And they're like, oh, it tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. You can have it back. Nah, it's okay. Why don't you give it to somebody else that you know that's lost? You got to take it. I don't know what they do with it, but I like to have a no take back policy, you know. But you find saved people, you can encourage them. They say, well, thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, praise the Lord. Tell somebody else today. Encourage somebody else about the Lord. And sometimes you find rude people. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You made their day by letting them be rude. All right? So don't worry about it. You don't have to be rude back. You're going to say, you know what? You have a nice day. Yeah. Right? Maybe less snark than that. All right? But you find your way to do it. And you say, you know what? Yeah, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. Have a good one. Have a good one. Hope your day turns around today or something. It's okay. But you get to meet new people. And sometimes you get to make acquaintances. Sometimes those people, because of your witness for Christ, they might be saved or lost. They might show up in church. You pass out a gospel tract and it has our church name on it. They might come into church. They might be able to find a church home where they can grow in the Lord and they can be encouraged to be a witness, an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It lets you meet new people. I'll tell you what else. Being an active witness for the Lord gives you stories to talk about. It gives you stories to talk about. If you've ever been a witness for the Lord, you have some stories. If you don't have any stories, probably not a very active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what happens. you meet people and you present Christ and you have some stories. I remember being in Washington, D.C. I don't know if Brother Ryman told the story, but Brother Alan Ryman a few years ago was here for a conference in November. And this is the story of Alan Ryman in Washington, D.C., dressing up in a full priest's outfit to pass out tracts. Now, people aren't used to seeing that. All right. So there's a few churches there. We were there to do some street work and to street preach and pass out tracts and do a bunch of things. And so he wears a full priest outfit in Washington, D.C. If you've never been to Washington, D.C., there's like a main place where all the stuff is, right? From the Capitol building all the way down through to the Jefferson Memorial and then the White House and the monument, Washington Monument. It's all kind of like right in this one spot. And so we're right there, like on Pennsylvania Avenue, one of the main drags coming from the Capitol. We're right there on one of the main things. And he's in this full priest outfit, again, highly Catholic. And he goes and stands in the middle of the street as the cars are coming this way, right? Two lanes coming this way. He stands in the middle of the street and he starts giving out tracts. And cars start stopping. And he's like, God bless you. And he's giving him a gospel tract. God bless you. You need to read this. And he's like, you need to get saved. Here you go. Don't forget, Jesus Christ died for you. What is he? And because they see him in the priest outfit. And there's a natural religious respect for the priest. And so he's just giving out gospel tracts in the middle of the road. People are like, oh, thank you, Father. Yeah, and what was he doing? I remember I was young. I was pretty young at the time. I remember going, that guy's crazy. That guy's crazy. He was crazy. He is crazy. But it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to be an act. I'm not necessarily recommending you do that. I'm just telling you, you'll have stories to talk about. I remember being in Boston, Massachusetts, and again, I was probably maybe young teens, and we were in Boston, Massachusetts, and there was some festivals going on, and so we were there. There's another church. My father knew the pastor there, and so we had went up there to pass out tracts and do some work during these big festivals, and there was this huge group of monks, like the orange and the rope for the belt. I don't know why you need a belt on a robe, but anyway, this big, you know, and they had the belt and the shaved heads and everything else, and man, just going on and passing out tracts. Here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go. Say, did they all take them? No, but it was fun. Wow, look at this. You know, I'm just passing out these gospel tracts. I remember being in Atlanta, Georgia one time with some friends. This is when I was in Bible school, and we stopped there, and Nathan Gipp starts doing some street preaching, and we're passing out some tracts, and some others preach, and we're doing that, and so we're on the train, like an above ground train. We're on the train back to where our hotel area was, and we're passing out gospel tracts, and we're like, man, something's weird here, right? You know, we found out we're passing out tracts on this train, and in Atlanta, Georgia, it was African American Gay Pride Weekend. Once somebody told us that, we're like, this makes sense now. This makes a lot more sense of what's going on. But what was it? Trying to give out gospel tracts. I remember giving out gospel tracts and laying out clothes and stuff for the homeless in Queens, New York, and doing that with a group. I remember being in Rochester, New York, and this guy that grew up in the city was like, hey, why don't you come with me and we'll go pass out some tracts. And we went on visitation on a Tuesday night, so it was getting dark, and he's like, hey, you want to come with me? He was trying to get me. That's what he was trying to do. He's like, hey, why don't you come with me? We'll go pass out some tracts at some place. So I'm like, all right. So what's he do? He goes, now, I know we use the term loosely around here, but an actual ghetto. We go into a very not safe place, and he wants to see my reaction. Because when I get out, I'm the only light-skinned person in the area, right? So what does he want to see me do? He wants to see me be afraid. Was I afraid? I was kind of too ignorant to be afraid. You know how you can find yourself in a position where you're not sure you should be afraid of things? And so I was like, whatever, I have the gospel tracts, and I'm with him. Right, so we just start passing out. I start passing out, and he's going. I'm going up to cars. I'm like, this is real stupid. I'm like, hey, here's a gospel tract for you. Hey, you want one? Yeah, here you go. All right, just giving out. I mean, there's all kinds of smells and scents and all kinds of things going on, if you know what I'm talking about. But what was it? trying to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Trying to be a witness. I remember knocking on a door one time in Pensacola, Florida, and a guy answers the door with a side-by-side double-barrel shotgun. I'm like, is it my turn? Yeah, it's my turn. Hi, we're from Bible Baptist Church, Pensacola. Just like to offer you a gospel track. No, thank you. Okay, all right. Yep, got it. Heard you loud and clear. You have stories. You have stories. Sometimes people don't want to hear the gospel. That's okay. Sometimes you can get the door slammed in your face. Sometimes people tell you some not nice things. You get yelled at. But man, I remember leading people to the Lord on their porch, giving them the gospel, and man, they were ready to get saved. The things going on in their lives. And you just show up, and it's like, they're just like, I'm ready to get saved. You talk to them about the gospel, leading the Lord in their house, on the street corner, talking to people, seeing people bow their head and get saved. Say, how often? I'm not saying it happens all the time. But man, to be able to lead somebody to the Lord and understand that God used you to represent his son, to save a soul that he died for, man, what a blessing. It's being an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your own stories. Go get some of your own. Find somebody else in the church crazy enough and go out with them and be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and pass out some gospel tracts and bring glory to God. Bring glory to God. You know what else happens lastly? When you're an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, it produces fruit. It produces fruit. That's what I was talking about a little bit there. It produces fruit. John chapter 15. This is the easy reference, but John chapter 15. Passive Christians often don't think about this, but the Lord expects us to bear fruit as Christians. We're to bring forth fruit. And Genesis chapter number 1 tells us that we bring forth fruit after our own kind. An apple tree produces apples. A pear tree produces pears. A Christian should reproduce Christians. We're supposed to have fruit. The Lord expects it of us. John chapter 15, look in verse number 1. Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Ye bear much fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you, died for you to save your soul. But he wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to reproduce Christians. He wants you to realize what he's done for you. And then you take the opportunity to tell someone else so they can also get saved and born again. You know what you have? You have a story. You know what you have? You have fruit. You have fruit. Bearing fruit. You'll have rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be able to realize everything that Christ has done for you. And then if you give out the gospel and see anyone get saved, if you pass out, listen, if you sow the seed, you won't always know the crop that comes. But one day you will. One day you will. And the more you sow the seed, the more you're bound to get to see somebody get saved. You pass out a gospel tract, somebody might be rude to your face. They might shove it in their pocket. They might throw it somewhere else. But you never know what's going to happen to that gospel tract. You never know if someone else in the family might pick it up and read it. You never know if someone might, they might go through something in life and they find that gospel tract and they say, and they start to read it and they say, man, Jesus Christ really loved me enough to die for me. They might get saved. You might never ever see them again or never meet. They might never tell you they get saved. But when you get to the heaven someday and you find out that there's souls in heaven, why? Because you passed out a gospel tract? That's fruit to your account. For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not that hard. It's not that hard. You can start off trying to do everything secretively, but you're still getting the word out. And then the Lord gives you a little bit more boldness, say, let me give you a gospel. Let me talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. It produces fruit at the judgment seat of Christ. It might produce fruit for Faith Baptist Church. Someone to see their families grow in the Lord and their families start centering things around the Lord Jesus Christ and changing things in lives, because that's what the Word of God does. It changes lives, and it changes it for the better. And it changes lives, and being a witness might produce fruit for Faith Baptist Church, but it's also for that family. It could be to support missions. It could be one more individual that's willing to go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, produces fruit to the glory and honor of Christ. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How do they find out about this offering of the free gift of eternal life? How do they find out that Jesus Christ, that it's not of works, but it's a free gift and it's by faith accepting Christ? How do they find out about it? Not everyone's going to come through these doors. Not everyone's going to walk through those doors and come and sit in here so that I can preach a message to them about salvation. No, but a little gospel tract, a witness, an open mouth to someone at work to talk about the Lord and salvation and what it meant to you and how it changed your life, that can go a long way. That can go a long way to bring glory, to bring fruit to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you should do when we're done here in a couple minutes? You should go back there and find some tracts that are appealing to you. Grab some of those tracts. Take them out to your car. Put them in a place where you can see them. Put them in your pocket. And say, listen, I say, Lord, I might not have done this before, not done a lot. I want to be a witness for you. I want to be an active witness. I want to give somebody the gospel. I want to see somebody get saved. Lord, I want to be a force for positive change. Not in the crazy worldly way, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that can last forever. Amen. Talk to a coworker. Take a moment when the conversation gets dull and talk to them about church this weekend. Maybe not bring up this message, because then they'll be like, that's why you're talking to me. Tell them about the Lord. Amen. Get some door hanger packets from Pastor Aaron and go around your neighborhood, and when you think they're not home, just go up and put it on the door and run away. What happens? It's a chance to give them information about Christ, the opportunity to get saved. Be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you maybe for the first time at the fair booth, or the first time really kind of getting used to passing out some gospel tracts, take that opportunity to embolden you and continue to pass them out. Amen. Not at the fair on your own time. Leave them places where you go. Leave them for the waitress when you leave a good tip. Leave one there at the table. Be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be creative. Find ways that you can do it. I mean, these are simple, basic things. There's so many creative ways that you can get out the gospel. But be an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He expects fruit. And we can't have fruit unless we're sowing the seed. We can't have fruit unless we're telling someone about the Lord. And so it's on us to do what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.